Welcome to Thoughtfully Us, the space where three therapists of color sit down to talk about mental health, real life, and the human side of healing. We're colleagues, friends, and licensed therapists. And so in this podcast, we're pulling back the curtain on not just therapy, but on being people of color in this field and on the parts of life we don't always get to process in the therapy room. So whether you're in therapy, thinking about it, or just trying to make sense of your own healing journey, we're so glad you're here. A quick disclaimer is that this podcast is for informational purposes only. It is not a substitute for therapy, medical advice, or diagnosis. Listening to this podcast does not create a therapeutic relationship with any of the hosts. Tease up for Thoughtfully Us.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to our very exciting and new series, Behind the Mic.
Woo! Woohoo! Claps.
Clap, clap, claps. We are so excited for the series, which we decided to do after getting some feedback from people that you're looking to learn a little bit more about all the different parts of us, which I think each of us have like shared some of our vulnerable parts here and there, but we thought it would be cool to have like a full episode focused on each person. So today we are focusing on the very special, drum roll, so special, Maya.
Thank you.
How are you today, Maya?
You know, it's Friday. Can't complain. It's kind of gloomy out though, which is sad. I mean, I know we're in feral season era, but you know, it was nice. We had some sun this week and I was like, there's hope. But
it's been so cold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Windy.
It has. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm excited to talk, I guess, more about myself and answer questions for whatever people want to know too.
Yes.
In the hot seat. This is a roast.
Yeah. Actually, everyone, this is just a roast. No, we're going to try and be our most well-behaved.
Mm-hmm.
We can't make any guarantees, but we did carry a bunch of questions that like some of our questions that we got, some are questions that we thought would be important. And we're just going to rapid fire. No, I'm kidding. Take our time. But me and Morgan are going to ask Maya some of these questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Maya, are you ready to get started?
I'm ready. Nervous, ready. Yes.
Love it. Okay. Let's start off with, I guess we can start off a little bit like therapist-y and then we can kind of get down into the nitty-gritty. What's a moment in your career that made you feel really like either proud or maybe like grounded or just like you felt really good?
I feel like the most therapist answer, which isn't going to be my main answer, but the most therapist answer is when you see your client do well or like discharge. Mm-hmm. So I think that also is what I feel too, of working with them for a long time, right through the thick of it, and then seeing them do well and hopefully not need, you know, that intense therapy anymore, I think is always a really nice feeling. But my actual answer, the answer I was like, let me actually think on this, was I want to say I was in undergrad. So that's not even in like my career as like a professional, but in undergrad, I was again able to have a really tailored internship on nutrition and disordered eating. And I went with one of the, she's now a dietitian, one of the staff members. We did a like student panel for college students, and they were able to answer questions. I believe it was for around the time of Eating Disorder Awareness Week or NEDA Week, as seen on social media and everything as well. And so it was a really great forum to kind of be able to explain a little bit about disordered eating and what it looks like, especially on the college campus and like resources. And it was a small group, but I don't like public speaking, and that was nerve-wracking. I think Morgan was there too, so I was
like, I remember being at something like that.
Yeah, and we, you know, me and the other colleague kind of curated the presentation and made sure we had questions of our own too to ask, and just again explain it more casually, I would say, again, just telling students, like, these are the warning signs, because they're really kind of, they can be everywhere, and sometimes you just don't know them as well. And so I think that was really great, because a lot of people found it to be sometimes like the first conversation about that, or they came up and were like, that was a good presentation, and, you know, I want to learn more, or, like, get in the field. So that was really nice. And I was like, oh, this is very lovely too.
I love that. I also feel like discharge makes a lot of sense, like, of a moment of just feeling like proud or like accomplished, maybe even too, because the work that you do, which you may be talking more about, or you could talk more about now if you want, like, it's so specialized and I feel like intense, like, there's different levels of care that everybody provides. Like, as a trauma therapist, like, I work with people for years, but like, as you, like, your work is so specialized in a way that, I don't know, do you want to describe a little bit about, like, what you do and why, what, like, discharge even means usually in that work?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like with disordered eating, it kind of varies. So there's some clients, we're just, like, in the, again, like, the thick of it. Sometimes I'm, like, the secondary therapist. So, like, they have a primary therapist that they work on, you know, day-to-day things with, or like long-term things, and then they usually will seek me for specific disordered eating therapy to really kind of dive in, understand the whys, hows, who's what, you know, and then also to gain the skills to not participate in the disordered behaviors. And so that usually, I feel like we usually target like 3 months is minimal, and then like 6 months at least, sometimes the year, kind of depending on the severity where they're coming to me at in their journey too. So I have some clients, again, it's like, again, more like short term, quick, than I have some clients I've had for a long time, because again, like other diagnoses or any other condition, sometimes things come back, sometimes they change, sometimes things are fine, and then, you know, a year goes by and they're like, wait, you know, something else is re-triggering this, or, you know, it's looking differently, or something happens in life, as things do, where, again, it's all about like what our first line of defense coping strategies are. And so, you know, some of them serve them greatly at one point, but they might not be working the same way later in life. So it's kind of a mix. But in terms of like the higher level of care you mentioned, there is a lot of assessment done. Usually, I would say majority of the people who I work with or get the intake or assessment are stable for the outpatient therapy. But of course, it's always an assessment if they do need high level of care, if things aren't changing, getting better, or if there's, again, some of the physical warning signs, like, hey, you might need a little bit more than what outpatient therapy can provide as well, too. So it's very, I find it very interesting. I find it very eye-opening, I would say, too, and just how it's changed, like, from, I was talking to someone the other day around, like, well, I think we've also talked about it on the podcast of, like, the change from the pandemic and, you know, everyone kind of leaving that. I have people who were in school at that time, so their world looks different than when we were in school. Technology, right? Like, what we're seeing all the time, which I think there's been more movements to try to get more of the positive stuff out there. Like, I know, I think TikTok or something banned certain words because people were really influenced by a lot of, like, the disordered eating, you know, videos and things, strategies that were actually really harmful online. So there's been some movement in that way. But I think, again, the incorporation of social media as well. And then a big one for my field is the GLP-1s or any like weight loss medication and treatment. So that's a big thing as well. And just recognizing like who that's for, who it's appropriate for, and how to navigate that too. So it's always interesting. I think we're always kind of learning as we go, as different trends take off, as things change as well too.
Mic drop. There she goes. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about Maya, like, once, and Morgan too, probably all three of us, we're very passionate about it, the things that the work we do and what we're interested in, and once we start, just hand over the mic. story for another time. Actually, maybe for this episode, honestly, Maya does have a mic. But we'll get to that. But shout out to the eating disorder providers, because not only can we not, a lot of us can't do the work that you like, that we need to do until disordered eating is stabilized, because, mm-hmm. you know, we can't, if someone is malnourished, that we can't expect them to do this other work mentally. But also, like you said, doing this work in a society that highly encourages disordered eating, mm-hmm. And like trends of like what I eat in a day and like all this stuff kind of are out there, I feel like you're probably exhausted with having to undo and help people unlearn yes. a lot of stuff that's out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we all kind of course, get that in some ways if we work with, I would say teens primarily is like who I'm thinking of, because they, in real time, we see a lot of differences in the way, you know, their peer networks work, or like, again, social media and stuff too. So I think it is interesting what it does mentally, but also more so of like the beauty standards we're always fighting, or different trends as well too. Thanksgiving's a big one. So a lot of us are in very like, all right, here we go. A lot of holidays, traditions, I would say celebrations, of course, for many, you know, different cultures and everything like that too, it revolve around food. So it's hard to not acknowledge it because it's in the room. So it's a lot of working through that as well. And then the other one I would say is the post-holiday into the new year, new me mindset, which was very much fixated around going back to the gym, I'm eating right, whatever, whatever, which again, not to say that's wrong, but then what does that come with when you're already struggling with disordered eating behaviors?
Yep. Yes. Thank you, Maya, for doing this work and for explaining to people. I think we've talked a little bit about to our listeners about like your specialty, but I feel like this really got to like let people in on some of the work that you do.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Morgan, did you want to ask Maya the next question we've got?
Of course. I was wondering, what does a perfect day off, so you're not working for seeing clients, a perfect day off look like for you?
Ooh.
I would not interact with anyone before 11 a.m.
Which you kind of do now.
I do, but... Sometimes I'm like answering emails early or responding to people mm-hmm. early, or sometimes I'm the one that's awake early. So
I was about to say, no interaction until 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. I wake up from a text from you between the hours of 5 to 7.
But it's my ideal day. Okay. Would it happen? I'm not sure. Cause I think there's, again, my body wakes up around the same time. I have a dog who goes out at the same time. There's other things, but that would be my ideal day. So maybe even like not looking at my phone, like a little, you know, moment away. I would like all my meals made for me. So if that means I DoorDash or go somewhere to eat, that'd be great too.
Or
my coffee as well.
Your coffee too?
Yeah.
I was like, or have a personal chef. For the day.
I do want a personal chef one day.
Why?
I keep seeing things online. What? Will I ever get one? They're doing really great work. I follow a lot of them on TikTok. Like, wow, this is great. And like a big thing too is like a lot of people get overwhelmed at what's my next meal or what should I make? And I feel like I sometimes am one of those people. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have time to make elaborate things, so I usually just settle, you know, to get something in. But it would be nice for a day off to be like very intentional foods that make me happy or I haven't had in a long time too.
Does anything come to mind, like when you're thinking of your ideal day, do you think about like a breakfast, lunch, or a dinner that you're like, I would want this?
I don't know. I don't know a brunch item right now. But I feel like lunch or dinner on my day off would have to include like a really good pasta or really good like Mexican food, tacos.
I knew. Yeah, I was like
tacos.
If you don't yeah. say Mexican food.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one of the day doesn't really matter. But breakfast, I'm not sure. I'm not picky, but I also don't really love breakfast food. Which is wild. I prefer like the brunch, like savory or like, I don't know. Yeah. In New York, there were always places for brunch that had like pasta or pizza. And like, I was like, yes, this is great. So I'm more like in that world, but that would be perfect. And again, made for me or I go get it is great too.
I love that. So it sounds like your ideal day is like more so about like not having to worry about responsibilities, like not having to wake up to do something, to take the dog out, not having to cook your meals, but like being able to eat good meals. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Very relaxed day.
Would you be like watching shows and movies and stuff? Or would you be out and about?
I'd probably be watching shows.
Okay.
Or movies. Yeah, probably movies because I never have time for movies during the week. But I love movies.
Okay. So movies you would watch. Is there a particular movie that you would watch or is that too much pressure?
The Size Wicked.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question though. I'd have to look at my letterbox because I have movies on my watch list, but I don't know which ones they are right now. Mm-hmm. So going through my watch list to see, okay, I finally have time to watch this movie would be great. Also, maybe something with self-care, but that's a lot of things I'm adding to this day where I'm feeling like not relaxing. But self-care of like get my nails done, maybe a facial massage, something where it's like I never do that. So it would be a good day.
Remember those massages we got in New York?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Were we all there?
Yeah, except Maya and I showed up first. You were running late, and
I was coming from work. I like that.
Yes, you were. Maya and I were goofing off, and then she mistook us for having a couple's massage. And Maya and I were like, we want our own space. Get us our own rooms.
We were like, is it cheaper? Or
yeah, we're like, wait a minute. How much is that?
How much is that?
I remember the place was like in a basement of somewhere. No. If I had to find you guys, I'm like, where am I going?
Well, it's just very New York of like its buildings and then there's, you know, the under. But it was highly rated and great.
New York is like, you very much can't judge a book by its cover. You're just
exactly
going down an alley and hoping for the best.
Exactly.
Our parents listener are like, what?
What's going on? Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of along those lines, what's like one value or belief that you feel like kind of guides you in life?
This is so cliche. I say this sometimes in sessions and I like preface it. I'm like, this is so cliche, but I really do believe now.
Okay.
Older, I like to say wiser. I believe that everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I probably would have been like, whatever, like, no, like, you know. But then I'm like, actually, yeah, like, I, whatever it was, situations that no longer served me, changes, transitions, moves, like, I don't know. It's been really great. It is very cliche, but I think the cliche ones are there for a reason. Like, I don't think they're, you know.
Yeah. Morgan and I might use this on you in the future if you are having a tough day or something, because I agree, but it's like hard to know that, feel that in the moment. But I think when you look back, you can see it much more clearly.
Mm. Yeah. Because in the moment, you're like, this is... And not, like, I don't know. I'm older now. Mm-hmm. It really is... I've been lucky to be able to try new things and like kind of take leaps because I know I have a good safety net, or at least people who care.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I shout out to Morgan as being one of those main people in your safety net. That's what's cool about being a twin, I feel like. Or, I mean, I can't speak for all twins, but as a witness to this pair of twins, you guys like walking through life together and going through each stage together. Like, since I've entered your life, you've always both been super supportive of each other, even if you're not exactly in the same stage or like navigating something different. And I think that's really awesome and unique and not something to take for granted. They love each other,
doctors. I was like, Morgan does not
care. We might like crickets. This one question I have for you, you kind of answered, but it was, what's a food that you will never get tired of? Like a certain meal or a food item?
Probably pizza.
Are you sure?
You guys think it's like tacos or something?
Yes.
I think it's your bean and cheese burrito.
Yeah, it's like it's something.
Bean and cheese burrito.
That's what you always get. Maya's pretending. She doesn't get that every time we go to this one place.
I do love those, but I just feel like pizza, like I wanted pizza so bad today, but I didn't feel like ordering food.
Maybe that's why you're answering this way.
It could be.
That's based on today's cravings. But we're talking about in life.
Mm-hmm.
No, I still think it.
Wait, so if you can get pizza or go to a Mexican restaurant, you would think you're going to get pizza?
Yeah.
Maya.
Maya's lying.
Listeners, this episode is actually behind the mic. Nelly and Morgan explain Maya's lying.
I know.
Because what?
They're like, she's wrong.
She is right.
I love pizza.
Our clients are the experts on their own experiences. Mm-hmm. Maya is not included in that. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, your answer was?
Pizza,
but really we know it's tacos or Mexican food.
Yeah.
And listeners, well, maybe we'll put it up. Like, tell us your favorite pizza spots, too. Ooh, we are always, us three are always looking for. Nelly's looking for a certain type of pizza.
Yes.
But we're always looking for pizza spots. One's opening near me next year, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. As a New Jersey gal, I am a pizza snob.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's not from New Jersey or New York would be like, what? I thought that's New York. But New Jersey has incredible pizza too. Very similar to New York. But a New Yorker or New Jersey person would disagree. But for this side of town, they're much more similar than the pizza that people try and call pizza here.
Our pizza's fake unless you go to a New Yorker, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Owner style place.
And even that, half the time, I'm like, what is this? What is going on? But we found some things to allow us to continue to live here. So, Maya, your answer is pizza. Morgan and I do not believe you.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay.
If you weren't a therapist, what do you think you would be doing right now?
So I was thinking about this because I was like, I know in other episodes I mentioned medical things, but actually, honestly, truly, my ideal job would be to just be one of those people that like rates movies or gets to vote for like the Oscars or the Academy, like the Academy Awards for movies, because I just feel like that would be perfect. And you get free watches all the movies nominated that year. So
I thought you can sign up to do that.
But do you get paid enough to make a living?
Well, you don't get. I don't know if you get paid.
Maya's trying to make a living out of this, and honestly, like, quit your job. Sorry, Maya's clients, but like, that is really what you should be doing, because Maya's like ability to find good shows before they become like, is going viral the right word? I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. before they get super popular, like, full stop, she is incredible at it. Incredible.
Yes. I just have a lot of time to watch TV. So I'll send these two shows, and then it will be, like, months or years later for some. And they're like, wow. And I'm like, wow, I remember that.
Amaya will beg us to watch a show for months. Yes. And then she'll be like, and to my husband too, she'll be like, he's going to love this, trust. And then like 6 months later, we watch it. And we're like, we love this. And I was like, I'm so annoyed. I've been trying to tell you to watch this. Like,
so annoyed. That would be ideal.
You know what I was thinking today?
What?
I might finish The Last of Us. Season two.
Whatever.
Okay.
And so it was just Trigger Maya.
We were talking about how Morgan and Maya are sometimes in different stages.
Yes.
This is really one of them because Morgan has a million unfinished shows that like really need to be finished. Like not shows that like, oh, they fell off and nobody finished them. Like Grey's Anatomy, incredible show, but like most people are not up to date.
Serious shows.
Never will.
Yeah, like see like shows Succession. That everyone, Succession.
Severance.
Well, Summer, about that. Vanderpump Rules, I think. Did you ever like
that? I did finish.
No, you skipped
around. Oh, it was Summer House.
I watched it all.
Summer House didn't finish.
Summer House, no.
I'm crazy. Close. And then, like, and that's just Maya would never. So.
That's true.
Lord. But I'm so, like, yeah, you didn't finish The Last of Us?
No, because after Joel died, which I can say out loud now.
Spoiler.
I know. I was like, I feel like I haven't watched it by now. After he died, I was like, what's the point? I literally was crying.
But you have to finish the season, though, because he's still in other episodes.
Yeah.
I can't. The heartbreak was just too much.
Maya and I also were not as connected.
I was not okay.
After that.
Yeah.
And we're very heartbroken and upset. We went through a weeks-long grieving process.
We went through all the stages of grief.
We did. Together. And yet we still finished it. Like, finish it, Morgan.
Yeah. It was too hard.
Well, the listeners want you to, so.
Yeah, we'll do a poll. Could Morgan finish season two of The Last of Us?
Yes. Maya and I will be like, yep.
Yes. It'll be two votes.
Yeah.
Right.
Maya and
Ellie. Two votes only.
Okay, Maya. So we touch a little bit about your favorite day.
Yep.
Your profession, both make-believe and real. What else do you feel like as listeners, people, like it's odd or different or like they don't really know you without knowing this thing? I think you have to explain a little bit about your dog. Because he's a very interesting little guy.
Yes. My dog, who's sleeping right now, actually sleeps a lot during this, which is interesting.
Thank God.
Is very sensitive is the word I've been using recently.
Okay.
He's very shy, depending on level of comfort. He has interesting quirks. And sometimes I wonder if he realizes he's a dog or someone else.
Yes.
Like a bunny or a cat or a deer or something.
Or his own species, even. Yeah. Like, I think he's his own species. I don't, I don't really know if he fits in with dog.
Yeah. And it is interesting because, like, the vet, I mean, I don't know how many texts there are, honestly, but every time we go, someone's like, wow, he's so, like, interesting looking. Or, like, he's pretty, but, like, they're also, like, you know, like, still, like, what's happening? But his mom looked like a fox.
He was a fox.
And could you imagine the whole time? I'm raising a fox.
Oh, my gosh.
And don't know what his dad was, as some families you just don't know. And what I do know is he's like a lab pit, husky-ish mix, and shepherd, like a lot of things, actually. A lot of like breeds together. So there's a lot going on, but he's cute, lengthy. But he tests my patience every day. Today was one of those days.
He really does test your patience every. I think he just tests patience. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
But you guys are such an interesting pair because he is so different from you. It has. And he is literally obsessed with Maya. It is so cute. We discovered recently that he's terrified of babies.
Yes.
Particularly mine. And he just hides behind Maya shaking. It was tragic, but also very sweet.
Funny. But yes, he loves. He likes the people he knows, like loves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think also him seeing Nelly with someone else, the baby, he's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Who is this?
Yeah, like, who is this person? So, but he is interesting. Some clients, actually not many clients see him, but they might hear him because he doesn't really bark really, but he'll like growl or just whine. So they hear something. Occasionally he might bark, but so they sometimes hear that or like he needed a recent procedure and had to cancel sessions and it was a whole thing. So like they know I have a dog too.
Oh, Landon.
Yep.
So tell viewers both about if Landon doesn't want to walk, like let's say he walks one place and he doesn't want to walk back.
Yeah, so he has like a fear of certain surfaces. I've noticed hardwood, but I also notice within that it's like the way shadows fall. So like his own shadow sometimes, it's wild. It's the shadow, I can see it from here. Shadow, like the way the light hits like the kitchen island, there's a shadow. So like he wouldn't probably walk over there. It's very interesting. So he'll like test it or he'll walk backwards. He'll walk backwards up the stairs sometimes. It's a lot too.
That's the weirdest thing. I'm gonna record him.
Yeah, we'll post it one day.
Post it.
Our Instagram. But
it is interesting. I have some friends who've had dogs who don't like hardwood either. I mean, like they have shoes that they wear or whatever, but Landon would not let me put shoes on him. So
I don't think he'd like it. And like with him, I feel like we've got to post the video because we're not doing it justice. Like it's not that he like it's not just that he doesn't like it. He is like
yeah.
Like terrified. I don't know, terrified, but like so uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I thought you were going to ask me about Landon, which I guess I can tell the listeners. So everyone is always shocked. We love like a dog name that's a human name, whatever. Mm-hmm. I picked Landon because it's always been my favorite name since I was young because it's the name of the main guy in A Walk to Remember, played by Shane West. If anyone's seen that Mandy Moore movie. So since I was young, I was like, I love the name. I also loved him, but like, I love the name. Like, I need this. So anything I would name, like custom name things, I would name it Landon. And then when I got a dog, I was like, this is it. This is why. So his name is Landon. I am going to play the movie A Walk to Remember for him next month on his birthday because I felt like he was too young to, even though he probably wouldn't even watch it.
Wait, what? I'm like, he wouldn't. He'd probably be asleep.
He'd be asleep. Well, sometimes he watches TV. I love when dogs watch TV.
Yeah.
So he might pick up on some of it, but like, mm-hmm. So.
But yes, he did everything Landon.
Yeah.
My partner was very confused why, like, a phone was connected to our car Bluetooth named Landon. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's just Maya. everything was Landon, and now there's the Landon, ultimate Landon, who is a very cute, adorable, but very quirky little guy. And his quirkiness plus Maya's no-nonsense sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
makes for a very
interesting. My neighbors are probably like, what's happening?
We've got to show you guys videos of these two. But at the end of the day, this mother-son duo are adorable. So
matched.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to let our listeners know?
No, but like I said, just send recommendations, especially for restaurants. I love, although I will say I saw something of like, you know, those people who say like, let's go here and save all these restaurants and they never go to them. That's me, but recommend them anyways. I love a coffee shop, love obviously like pizza, Mexican, whatever, really into Thai and Korean food recently. So if you have any recommendations on that, let me know. But yeah, thanks for listening and letting me share more about myself. And yeah.
This is just the start, but thank you for sharing.
Start of something new.
It's the start of something new. Okay. We won't traumatize our listeners.
I was like, oh.
Well, thank you, Maya.
Thanks, and guys. Listeners,
if you have anything more you want to hear about Maya, just send us a message or swipe up on our stories or comment. We'll be on the lookout.
We will. All right. Till next time, yes.
All right.
Peace up.
Peace up.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's conversation. We hope you felt seen, supported, and maybe even laughed a little along the way. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a new one. And we'd love it if you left us a rating or review. It really helps more people find us. You can also connect with us on Instagram at thoughtfully_us and let us know what you want to hear about next. And remember, while we're therapists, this podcast is not a substitute for therapy. If you're struggling, please reach out for support from a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.